We'll begin with an introduction. Our speaker today, Pastor Nathan Pfeiffer, son of Prof. Pfeiffer and Barb, has graciously agreed to bring the Word of God to us today. He serves one of the CLC churches in Spokane, Washington, and we thank him for bringing us the gospel.
Well, good morning. Grace and peace be with you. In the name of our triune God who loves us and gave himself up for us, I also bring greetings from your brothers and sisters in Christ who maybe a couple of you have met at Trinity Lutheran in North Spokane. But even though they don't know you by face or by name, they pray for you and they support your growth in Christ here at Emmanuel. This morning I begin with a question. How comfortable are you? It's been about 15 years or so since I was in your position sitting on those wooden bleachers. I remember high school and college being an uncomfortable time, being in all sorts of uncomfortable relationships, not knowing whether so-and-so liked me the way I liked them, uncomfortable, not sure of where the Lord would lead me in the future. So how comfortable are you? Are the pews just as uncomfortable, or the bleachers just as uncomfortable as they were all those years ago? We look for comfort in our lives, don't we? From little on, this morning as I was getting this ready, my three-month-old was laying on the floor crying. All she wanted was to be picked up and held. And then she was quiet. She was fine because she was comforted. As we grow older, we still look for comfort. We fall off our bikes and we run to mom to soothe us and comfort us in our pain. The thunderstorm rolls in and we run to dad for his strength and comfort. As we grow older, we look for comfort in different situations, don't we? That boy or girl doesn't quite like us the way we like them, and that makes us uncomfortable. So we look for comfort from our friends. We fail that test, which keeps us out of the college we wanted to go to, and we look for comfort. As you grow and mature in years, and if the Lord grants you a family, and you expect a child and you lose that child, you look for comfort. And as you grow older, and you stare death right in the face, you look for even more comfort. So all through our life, we're looking for comfort, and the question is, where are you going to go? Where are you going to look for the comfort? The world is constantly offering you all sorts of comfort, right? Music, entertainment, a fake life online. All these are supposed to be sources of comfort to help you in your discomfort. But do they really help? Do they really address the real problems you have in your life, or do they just kind of mask it? In my ministry, I've run across a number of people who have struggled with alcohol abuse and drug abuse. And they've gone to those things as sources of comfort, to comfort them in their discomfort. But in the end, they found it didn't comfort them. It masked it for a while. It hid it for a while. It covered it up. But in the end, their problems were just as bad, if not worse, than they were before. So where are we going to go? Where are we going to look for comfort? Well, the Apostle Paul, as he begins his second letter to the Corinthians, speaks of our God as the God of all comfort. The God of all comfort who comforts us in all our afflictions. Now, when you're having a bad day, or you've had that bad breakup, or that bad test, or that bad game, who do you go to? You go to people that have been there and done that, who have gone through that, and you turn to them because they've been there, they've experienced that pain, that discomfort, and you think, well, they might be able to comfort us. They might be able to help us. But in the end, they just offer us words of consolation. I've been there, I've survived, I've made it through. You can do it too. It'll get better. But again, it doesn't really help us all that much. Well, The prophet Isaiah, when he wrote of the Savior to come, spoke of him as one who was despised, rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Does that sound like someone who's been there and done that? Jesus, though God of God and light of light, he became one of us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, we've been considering over the last month. God became man, dwelt among us, and he experienced some of the very same things each one of you experiences. At one point in his life, his brothers made fun of him because he thought he was a fool of a prophet. They mocked him and jeered him. In his hour of need, where were his friends? They betrayed him. They abandoned him. They even rejected him. And when he saw how death affected his friends Mary and Martha, he too wept. So what do we find in Jesus? We find one who has been there, who's done that, who's experienced all these things that we go through. And then he endured the greatest discomfort, if you will, and the greatest rejection of all, when even his own father abandoned him. On the cross, the great discomfort of our sin that makes us even more uncomfortable than a bad relationship, a bad test, or a bad game. Our guilt, those ugly words we spoke, those ugly thoughts we had. On the cross, they were all laid on Jesus, placed on him. And like the garbage collector who comes around, who picks up our garbage and hauls it away from our house, Jesus came, he picked up our sin, picked up the garbage of our guilt, put it on himself, and carried it all away. He removed it forever through his death on Calvary. So we find Jesus is the God of all comfort. He can really comfort you because he's been there. He's done that, and above and beyond all, he's removed your guilt forever. And so the same God commands in Isaiah 40, "Comfort, comfort my people," says your God. "Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." So the God of all comfort commands comfort to be proclaimed to you, to the church. And think of how he gives this comfort to you. Every school day morning, you are blessed to have the God of all comfort comfort you through his word, to assure you that your sins have been removed, your guilt taken away. Every weekend at church, you're comforted by the God of all comfort in the assurance that as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed your transgressions from you. As you reflect on your baptism, you are comforted, knowing you have been clothed with the holiness, the perfection, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. In Lord's Supper, Jesus himself comes to you and comforts you by giving you what? His own body and his own blood. And then as you face that most uncomfortable situation of death itself, the God of all comfort is there too. Jesus Christ, who tasted death for you and who rose victoriously from the dead on the third day, comforts you by saying, "Don't worry, because I live, you too will live." So, discomfort. We have a lot of it. Our life seems to be full of it. Every day there seems to be more and more discomfort. And as you get older, the discomfort changes. But what does not change is who our God is. He is the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction. And the result of that, the Apostle Paul says, is that you, having been comforted by Christ, you can then go with that same comfort and comfort others. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Amen. I invite you to join me in the singing of hymn 651. We'll make use of stanza 3 and 4. 651, verses 3 and 4.